I ran across a trailer for a documentary coming soon to PBS about a population, a group of artists that I never realized were there. This is a trailer for a film called, a documentary called American Dreamers, about artists who designed cars in the 50s. They worked in Detroit for the big auto companies. So if we can get sound on.
The amount of art on the streets that was created in those studios at Ford, GM, and Chrysler is just unimaginable. There's never been a culture in history that had anything like that, not even close.
The American dream was to do the best you could and have people recognize it as good work, and I had that dream too. I don't know if I actually reached what I thought I should be.
It was a great time for the car industry. There was an excitement working for the largest corporation in the world at that time, and it was a pretty unique experience.
The rule was, this is company property. They own it. They paid you for it. It belongs to them. They scared the heck out of us that we shouldn't steal all that stuff out. But then when I saw what happened to it when we got through with the program, they would empty the drawers and throw out the sketches.
We hated to see our sketches destroyed, going to the chopper, although literally hundreds and hundreds of mine did, and I know that's true of other designers too. Any living designer or any recently deceased designer will have tried to save a number of his sketches.
A lot of guys used to make false bottom on the boxes and put the sketches in when they moved stuff out of the studio.
I just wanted to make it nice looking, easy to use, beautiful.
I always wanted to make it just one little step further, reach a little bit further, and make it a little bit better. It does pay to dream. I don't know if my dream came true, but I got a lot of pleasure out of doing what I did. And I still hope that I can continue doing my work even past my age.
I love that. I ran, not only because I love cool cars, but I love their connection with their art. The rule is, so decreed by the companies they worked for, is that we own it, say the company bosses. It belongs to us. But rather than have their art destroyed, they snuck their art out in false-bottomed boxes. At the risk of their jobs, they just couldn't let their art be destroyed. They were artists and dreamers, envisioning what the car would and should look like in the future. I wanted to make it nice looking, easy to use, beautiful, said one. They are artists, and it is right that their work is honored and not thrown into the shredder. As artists, they are dreamers. I always wanted to make it one little step further, said another. To reach a little bit further, make it a little bit better. It does pay to dream. I believe Jesus, if he were watching this trailer that with us this morning, would say yes. Yes to these artists and dreamers. He, after all, is the master artist and dreamer. In our text this morning, we have the last I am statements, and Jesus, from the very beginning of John's gospel, has painted pictures for us. I am the good shepherd. I am the bread of life. I am the one who touches the ones the world says you're supposed to stay away from. I am the one who feeds. And don't forget the wine. Don't forget what I did with the wine. It's a picture of the abundant, joyful life that Jesus wants for us. I believe Jesus would say yes to artists and dreamers. Our text this morning comes from John's telling of Jesus' last private moments with his disciples. He had just washed their feet like a servant, the Lord revealing his deep love through humble service. That itself a powerful picture. He has sent Judas out to do what he was going to do, and he shares his last words with his friends, and he paints a picture. I am the vine, and you are the branches. It is a picture of love, of relationship, and of hope. I know that if you are like me, when you read these verses, you worry about the dark side of this text. Lord knows we either use this image and this language to condemn people who don't follow Jesus like we do, threatening them with burning in fire. Or we use this image to beat up ourselves with anxiety, wondering if we are bearing enough fruit or if God is cutting us off. We are anxious about whether fire waits for us. But this text, to me, I believe, is not about condemnation. Jesus, at the beginning of John's gospel, says, I am not here to condemn, but I am here to save. This text is urgent encouragement to stay connected to Jesus, to trust and love him. This is the way we will be able to dream and bear fruit like he does. If you take a look at the morning's current events, if you take a scan of the headlines, you might as well hang a big sign out that says, Artists and Dreamers Needed. We could use artists and dreamers to paint a community where we all get together and cooperate and meet the needs of earthquake victims in Nepal. We could use dreamers of a community that not only rejects violence on the street, but also violence in the police van and in the police station. We could use art that rejects not only the violence of the looter and the demonstration that gets out of hand, but also rejects the violence hidden behind authority. The violence that gives birth to the anger now spilling out. Artists and dreamers needed. We could use dreamers of a community where each person, regardless of gender or gender identity, regardless of level of financial abundance, regardless of color of skin, of particular abilities, age, language, or level of education or sexual orientation, regardless of whether you are at the top or bottom of things, where each person as a human being has equal access to the things they need to live and thrive. Artists and dreamers needed. We could use dreamers of churches that share and live good news in deed and word. We, you and I, have dreamed and glimpsed this together in my time here, but there is so much more for you to discover and dream when I move on. Artists and dreamers need it. And when we are connected to the vine, Jesus invites you to dream of life where you are not at the mercy of your particular circumstances. They may describe you in part, they may shape you, but your particular struggles and circumstances do not define you. This water of baptism defines you. This water of baptism defines you as a child of God, treasured and loved. This vine that we receive and connect with at this table regardless of who you are. We are made one in Christ. This defines you. And you draw strength to face your particular circumstances. We gather together around this table and we receive grace and love, and we are invited, we are dared to dream, to imagine the world that God wants to create among us. I confess, I'm a fan of Downton Abbey. I think it's great writing, and it has wonderfully subtle moments. And there's a great line from an episode in this past season between the Dowager Countess of Grantham, who's the matriarch of the family. And the show, by the way, is about a grand English manor between around the time of the World War and First World War and following. And the Grand Dowager Countess is the matriarch of the family, and she kind of represents the old guard, the old way, traditional way of thinking about things and doing things. Well, I'm getting wind up there anyway. Stand up. And she has welcomed into her family a friend who is somewhat a lower status, Isabel Crawley. And even though they're a little bit of different status, they are family, and so they become close friends. And they're always kind of sparring with each other about their different ways of looking at things. And so there's this great line of dialogue where they face a particular difficult set of circumstances. And Isabel says, "Don't give up hope." And the Dowager Countess says, "Hope is a tease merely devised to prevent us from accepting reality." "Oh, you just say that so you can sound clever," says Isabel. "I know," says the Dowager Countess. "You should try it." Far be it from me to disagree with the Dowager Countess, but this is a table of hope. And hope is oh so much more than a tease. This table of hope is given to us, and it is devised to keep us from accepting reality as it stands. That it invites us to imagine, to dream. So sculpt, paint, draw, dance, sing, play, potluck, study, whatever you do. I don't know if potluck's a verb, but I'll just say it. Whatever you do, it pays to dream. Amen.